It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and tonight we are back talking about Big Brother Canada 5 live on robhasawebsite.com. We are here to recap the latest eviction in the Big Brother Canada Odyssey, and with me are some good pals of mine. First is a man who's going to help us break down what's going on in the live feeds in a little bit, and I know is so excited about this twist. It is Taryn Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. Taryn, how are you?
Here be too happy I'm. I think that's how it works, right?
That's how it works, right? Yeah, backwards week. You could just Alex Kidwell, like, he put on like his hoodie backwards last night, but he didn't actually like put the hood up over his face. So, which I was like, come on, I was waiting for him to do it. He just didn't do it. But that works too. You can speak in backwards as well.
I feel like that's more podcast friendly.
Yes, I feel like for the audio, most people I think are listening to this in the audio archive. So thank you, Taryn, for being mindful of that. And next is a man who was a regular guest on my podcast before I even had a podcast, back on the Big Brother Canada 3 live feeds. It is Johnny Calatrulio, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm excited to be here and talk Big Brother all over again. It's been a long time, Jordan.
It's been a long time, Johnny. I think the last time we had you on, we were talking about Survivor, and then it was we had the after show that we didn't record. And in the after show, somebody was telling me about you were explaining how hard it is to be a gay man on dating apps the things that you've encountered. So
things have not changed at all.
That was like top notch after party after happy, whatever it was.
After Par Hardy, that's what we call it. But yeah, no, that was so fun. That was a very, very fun show back in the day. If only it was recorded. But Johnny, so good to have you back, man. We had you on so much in the early days. It's been a while. Tried getting you on last season. I think you were sick or something. I can't remember what it was.
Oh,
but
God, yeah, but I was definitely ill last time.
Yeah, so we're good. We got you back here on the Happy Hour. We're going to have lots of fun today. For those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome. Thank you for jumping aboard. First, we're going to talk about the eviction and the episode and that kind of stuff. And then in the later part of the episode, we're going to be talking about what's going down on the live feeds and stuff like that. So if you don't want to know any spoilers, don't worry. We're not going to talk about that right away, but we will get into that as the show progresses. I'll give you a little bit of a warning. This show is also live and interactive. So if you want to send us a question, please send those in. You can tweet them to me. Use hashtag RHappyHour, and we will get throughout. We'll look at those throughout the show. Yeah, that's pretty much it I wanted to say. I also want to give a special shout out to my sister, Emma. Big thank you to Emma. My computer broke today, guys. I just turned it on and I opened it like the login screen, and just nothing worked. The trackpad, the keyboard, nothing. It just didn't work at all. So I had to take it into the Apple store, and the nice guy took care of it. But he's like, yeah, it's going to be like 4 days. So big shout out to my sister. So thank you, Emma. And thank you to Scott St. Pierre in advance, because I'm probably going to forget, for editing and posting this podcast. Big shout out to you, Scott. Really appreciate it. Okay, guys, let's do it. Let's talk about this episode. Johnny, your girl, Cassandra, fellow Winnipegger, she's evicted unanimously 11-0 out of the BB Can Odyssey. What were your thoughts on Cass's game this season? I know you're a huge fan of Cass. You're friends with Cass in real life. What's your take on all this and how this all played out?
You know what? I do. I'm friends with Cass in real life. I love her so much. Everything you see of Cass on TV is very much her in real life. There is no bullshitting with her. I love her to pieces. Unfortunately, I think this time she came back, and you know, all the vets, they're going to have huge targets on their back just because they're returning players. But for some reason, Cass came back this time, and she just, it seemed like she played too hard, too fast. And unfortunately, she got on the bad side of some of the other vets, and she was not trusted. And, you know, ultimately, it was her demise at the end of the day. Do I still love her to pieces? Absolutely. Do I think she did a phenomenal job, and she fought till basically the minute she walked out that door? You know, she did a great job. So I'm excited to have her come back home and us to continue to watch the season together. But, you know, it's just, I'm sad. I'm sad for her, because I would have loved to see her do so much better.
Yeah, it's, I think a lot of people are really, it's bittersweet for some people. It's just straight bitter for some people, just straight sweet for some people. But I think the general consensus is that Cass makes this show better. And really, I mean, we're 20 days in and we already lost her. I did not expect that really at all, Taryn. Are you, like, looking back, if we, you know, this whole theme of this season, Taryn, is the whole shifting in time and all this nonsense. If we shifted, we found a wrinkle in time and went back to before this season started. If I told you Cass was out week three, how shocked would you have been on a scale of 1 to 10?
I feel like I predicted that. Like, I feel like Brent was the one saying Cass is great. And I was like, I don't know. I mean, I think she got kind of lucky
but
in her
you
first
didn't
season.
Think she'd be out pre-jury, did you?
I mean, I feel like she is a capable player, and I think that she was put in a position where she could have done really well. So I definitely thought she had a better chance than even her last season. But, you know, she played very similarly to how she played on her last season. And it just, I mean, like she said in this episode, she was in a very similar situation when she played last time, and she just kind of barely squeaked by. And she, you know, she didn't have the votes this time, and that's really all there is to it.
Yeah, Johnny, I can't wrap my head around this, how it just went so badly so quickly for Cassandra. Like, what for you? Like, if you could have gone in there and, like, could have said after a week or two, hey, Cass, shift this one thing, what would have been the one thing you think that really did her in this go around?
I mean, I think she came off as being really shady, and I think she came off as sort of playing everyone. And I think that really scared some of the other big returning vets like Netta, like Ika, and Bruno and Kevin. And so I think that ultimately worked against her. I mean, either they were going to be full on board to work with her and play the game together, or if they thought that she was sort of going every which direction, which Cassandra did. I mean, she made great relationships with all of the people in there. And she was starting to work the relationships with the newbies. But that sort of scared the vets, I think. I also, and I'm going to say it, and I think people are going to hate me for saying it, but I think some of the pre-existing relationships are certainly coming into play here. I don't necessarily know that people like Netta and Cassandra were on good terms prior to going into the house. Cassandra and I are sort of secluded out here in Winnipeg, and we're not really close to anyone. So we don't get to see very many people that often. And if you don't make the effort to sort of maintain those relationships with other people, you know, I just, for some reason, I think that plays a lot into it. You know, people like Kevin, he was out in Van a little bit, and people talked to him, and we've got to see him since season three, and he's got to know some of the season two people and, you know, and everyone else. And same with Netta. Netta's been around now since season two. She has relationships with all these people. But Cass came fresh off of last season, came immediately back home to Winnipeg, and really hasn't had a chance to interact with anyone. So I feel like that has played into it. It has to, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Johnny. We talked about the whole season four thing last night when we had Allison on the podcast, and we were talking about how, you know, maybe it's the, you know, not having the time to gain perspective, and that's a huge thing. But I didn't even consider what you were saying in that. Yeah, Cass, and this goes for Dallas too. Both of them were kind of just off, you know, doing their ad. They went on the show for season four, and then they kind of went off and did their own thing. Whereas the rest of these vets, for the most part, have kind of, to some extent, I think, have really kept in touch outside of Gary, I guess, Johnny, that's probably the only
person. Gary's really the only one that doesn't sort of fall into that. I would say the rest of them, though, have all interacted and meshed together on numerous occasions since playing the game and since. So I feel like that has to play into it. I truly do.
Taryn, what do you think about that? Just based on what you've seen on feeds, have you gained that? Have you gotten any insight on that, or is it too hard to tell?
No, you definitely got that sense. Cass did not have the kinds of relationships with the other players that they had with each other. And those relationships, like Ika and Netta, I think would not be on good terms right now if they didn't know each other outside of the house, because they just do not, their play styles do not mesh at all. And I don't think there'd be any trust if they didn't know each other outside of the house. But that being said, you know, most of those vets said, I really wanted to work with Cass going into this game. And just based on what she did week one, I just felt like I couldn't. And that behavior kind of continued throughout. So I definitely think she went in somewhat disadvantaged, and she really kind of didn't help her case with the way that she played.
Yeah, it's almost as if like she started with that disadvantage, Johnny, and then she with the not having the relationships, and then she tried to make up for it by going like a million miles an hour, mm-hmm. and it just she kind of just fell flat on her face. That's kind of what I'm getting from this whole situation.
Yeah, it's almost as if she picked up where she left off from BB Camp 4 and didn't really reset her mindset and started at the start of the game. She came in guns a blazing on week one. And she really had to restart all over again. And it didn't seem like she did that. It seemed like she came in and she was just going all over the place. And, you know, gotta love her. She is entertaining and she's amazing TV. But in a game like this, especially with returning players, I just don't know that that's the way to do it.
Looking back now, Johnny, that we've seen how this thing has all played out, what's Cass's legacy going to be as a Big Brother Canada player when we look back on this a few years from now?
I mean, I don't think we should downplay how amazing Cassandra played last season. I think that'll always be her legacy. And at the same time, there are a lot of people really upset that Cass has gone home. And I mean, so her legacy, I don't think is going to change. She is still going to be one of the most popular players to ever play Big Brother Canada. I don't doubt that. And I don't think her performance on this season, given all of the factors of returning players, et cetera, I don't think that anyone's going to hold that against her.
Taryn, we saw in the episode there was, you know, Cass is campaigning really hard and she's trying to do all these things. And I know that Gary the past couple days has kind of been going back and forth and he's trying to keep her. Was it there ever a point like what was the closest we got to the vote flipping, Taryn?
It never came very close. I think there was a point maybe two nights ago where like maybe there was some steam picking up, but it never got beyond like four votes, basically. Dimitri's was never going to flip. Ika was Ika back and forth. Karen was back and forth all the time. Like there was never a moment where all six people were like, yes, this is definitely happening. So it was real. And honestly, it should have, because those six people, you know, this wouldn't have been a terrible move for them. They are at a disadvantage with what Netta has going on with Kevin and Bruno, and then with Emily and Dylan, and now they've picked up Jackie. They really are building a force, and Dimitri's and Ika are on the outside of that, and it would behoove them to recognize that this other side of the house is something that they need to pay attention to and make sure that they keep the numbers on. But you know, they just never were able to get on the same page. Cass was never able to, she was running around trying to convince like, no, we have the numbers. And they'd be like, I don't think we have the numbers. And then she'd run to somebody else and they'd be like, yeah, well, I want to keep you, but I don't know if we have the numbers. And it was just a big mess. And she was never able to like tell them what they needed to hear to be like, yes, this is what we need to solidify and make this vote happen.
So talk to me about this alliance then here, Taryn, the whole, I mean, it's funny. Kevin's alliance on Big Brother Canada 3, was the fortress. And he's kind of in, now Netta and Kevin and Bruno are kind of in this fortress. They have all these people in front of them. You're talking about Ika and Dimitri's here. Where do they is the six still where Netta, Kevin and Bruno are most loyal to right now? Or are they starting to drift more towards the Dylans and the Emilys and the Jackies of the world?
I believe they are drifting towards the Emilys and Dylans and Jackies because Ika is so volatile and she, you know, you can't rely on Ika. You know, she's been going off on Netta. She's been talking to Cass about like, maybe we should flip the vote. Maybe we shouldn't. I'm not sure. And so they're thinking like, oh, we can't really trust Ika, but we need her for now. We need to keep her on our side. So they're doing everything in their power to tell her everything that she wants to hear. But if they have the option between these like blindly loyal new players and Ika, who is, you know, just all over the place, they are going to choose the new players.
So Johnny, how do you feel about that, hearing that information?
I mean, these vets have to turn on each other. They are such big targets in themselves. The Bruno and Kevins are going to have to turn on the Netta. The minute her immunity's up, we're going to see a line drawn in the sand. So we're going to now start to see them gravitate towards those newer players who will be their ammunition moving forward to take out some of the other vets. As for Aika, Aika is volatile and all over the place and crazy. So they're going to want to start distancing themselves from her to begin with. I love her to pieces. She has to be one of my favorite people from season two, but she is all kinds of crazy. Like she changes her mind on a whim and she says one thing and 30 seconds later, she's changed her mind. And I mean, and that's Aika, and that's why we love her, and that's why she's great TV. But in the game, I don't know how you can work with someone like that. I mean, I couldn't handle dealing with someone like that.
No, definitely not. I couldn't either. I think that's, you know, it's scary working with somebody who's just going to go like this and that. But Taryn, I want to ask you, because from my perspective, when Aika was a have not last week, she was really all over the place. Like, so, like it was crazy how over the place she was. Was she as all over the place this week when she was a have? Because from my perspective, it seemed like that was really a big catalyst in terms of her going, you know, being so wishy-washy back and forth with things.
From my point of view, she was less all over the place this week, but it seemed like that was mostly because of Dimitri's influence, where last week she was trying to influence Dimitri's. This week, he was a big influence on her to be like, let's calm down. We're not going to keep Cass. This is not going to happen. Let's not go too crazy. And despite that, she still, you know, went around a lot, but certainly less than last week. I'm, you know, she definitely had less outbursts, and wasn't quite as erratic. I don't know if that was Slop or if it was Dimitri's, but she's hopefully on a trend toward the better of her game and not the worse of it from last week.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about, I mean, Johnny, I brought this up earlier, but the whole idea of back-to-back weeks, we see these season four people going home. Do you think there's any, like, I'm trying to think, I guess what you said earlier, that whole pre-existing relationship thing makes sense. But part of me feels like people are going to look back at season four and they're going to say, okay, this was a good season. And then they're going to look back at this season and say, hey, we saw Dallas and Cass go out 2-3 on this season. Do you think that's going to tarnish the reputation of season four a little bit now that we've had two of their returnees go out so early back to back?
I don't think so. I think season four was a great season all in itself. I think just with this mix of people, it just is what it is. I mean, I don't think that should tarnish anything from season four. And I mean, yeah, some people were upset when it was announced that Dallas was coming back. That was a little bit of a surprise for most people, but Dallas was what he needed to be. He is an interesting character and you have to have that mesh of people. You can't bring back all of those powerhouses because it just doesn't work. Like, I mean, unless we're going to do a true proper all-star season, then you can't have that. And even in that, it's arguable that you need the people like Dallas to sort of lighten things up and really shake up the game a little bit.
Taryn, what do you think about that? I mean, I know your opinions of Mitch and all, but what do you think about that whole debate in terms of the level of play on season four?
I mean, I think I was very vocal in saying that I was pretty disappointed with the level of play on season four, especially in the latter half of it.
So hashtag Taryn was right.
If you want to say that, Jordan,
no, I'm not, I'm putting words in your mouth. You're saying hashtag Taryn was right, but all right, that's okay. We can take that.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, Brent was very annoyed at me because I kept saying last season that it was all coming down to competitions. And I feel like it kind of did all come down to competitions. And I feel like, especially with, you know, you choose to bring back Dallas. I certainly had higher hopes for him this season, but he was not very good on his original season. And Cass, who I think has a lot of promise, but probably not suited for this kind of season, where there are pre-existing relationships, where there are people like Netta who are going to be like, no way am I letting her stay in this game. She's way too irrational. So, you know, I just feel like maybe there were better options for this season from season four.
All right, let's talk about this whole backwards week stuff, Johnny. What do you think about this whole twist and how it's going to work? It's on my phone, which I don't actually have here. Normally, I would have everything set up, but because of my computer situation, it's a little off today. But the rules have been posted on the global website. And from my recollection, and please, either of you, correct me if I'm wrong, they're going to vote. So it's this basically week one, season three, where they each vote to nominate two people. Then they play the power veto competition. And then I guess the veto holder can save a nominee. And then if a nominee comes off, they're all going to vote again. And then after that, the HOH winner is going to, the HOH competition is going to happen. And the winner of that comp is going to have the sole vote to evict for the week. So just after laying all that out here, Johnny, how do you feel about this twist?
I mean, coming from our season where there were so many twists and it really just shook up the sort of foundation of the game, I'm not really sure how I feel about this. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I do not like that this twist is coupled with the fact that we have Netta's immunity in play. I feel like this would be much more interesting if everyone was fair game, because it could really go any direction. And that is where you would see maybe someone like a Bruno, a Kevin, or a Netta take a stand and maybe take out one of those big vet players if they were that sole vote at the end. But because of the immunity being in play, and because it's going to be in play for another week or two-ish, whatever, depending on what Big Brother does, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, I like that point that you made. I think it would be a lot better if this was a later in the game, because then, yeah, with Netta is such a big fish that people want to fry right now in that house, I think, but they can't go at her. So, you know, I think that I would be excited to see how it would play out if she was up for grabs. But the fact that she's not, I feel like this plays so much into the hands of the Six Alliance, Taryn.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair to Netta, I think regardless of her immunity, she would be safe this week. And that's because this twist plays to the majority. Right. We've seen a lot of these kinds of twists, especially on Big Brother US. It's very like Battle of the Block kind of thing, roadkill kind of twist, where it's basically like, let me just hand the majority an easy week. There's basically no way that the minority can escape this because it's all majority vote. So the majority will vote for the nominees. And even if they win the power of veto, which they only get one chance to save themselves instead of two because they can't compete in the HOH competition, the nominees, even if they win the veto, then it's another vote to put up another person. There's basically zero possibility for somebody in the majority to go home this week, which is like unprecedented in Big Brother, basically. It's crazy.
It's a full pagonging, Taryn.
Right. Especially because it happened right after the previous week. So there's no time to even break up the majority. They have to immediately vote. So they're going to vote for how they voted in the previous week. So that previous week's majority is just going to continue to press forward. Unless, again, the only chance is if somebody wins the veto and takes themselves off the block, and then the majority breaks up to put up a replacement nomination that was from the previous majority, and then somebody from that previous minority wins HOH and manages to evict that one person who was previously in the majority.
Wow. There we go. Oh, Taryn Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. Well done. Well done. I mean, this really is, Johnny, it's another twist now that is just so, so overpowering for the vets. I mean, I don't think, just based on what I saw when this was first announced, Twitter was not very happy. I don't know about the Big Brother Canada audience as a whole, but for that, I mean, I feel like at some point they've got to introduce, or maybe I'm wrong, who knows? Maybe this is the season, the theme is, here's a bunch of twists that's going to help the vets so a vet wins this season. Man, maybe that's it. But I feel like at some point, we've seen it, Johnny, time and time again on Big Brother Canada, there's a powerhouse alliance at the start of the game and they're running things and they're doing a great job and nobody can touch them, and then all of a sudden, bam, there's a big twist and it just like shakes them up and it ruins their games and one of the big dogs goes out and then the game kind of gets going. Do you think that's the direction that we're heading in?
I hope so. I think we do need something to shake things up. I mean, season two, Canada's HOH really changed the course of the game. Maybe we need something like that at this point to really change things. This twist does play into the vets and does play into the core six. The only thing that the only saving sort of grace is that I hope that Big Brother is not explaining things to them along the way. I really hope that they keep them on their toes and that they really have no idea what to expect. If the house guests have no idea what's going to happen with this veto and how the replacements are going to work, it gives them less ability to sort of conspire and come up with a plan. I believe it also said from what Big Brother released about that sole vote for HOH, they won't know that till moments before competing for the HOH competition, which will avoid some of the planning and plotting, which I think is a good thing. But again, this twist, now. I don't know how I feel.
It's too much. It's too much, Johnny. It's too much.
Unfortunately, we're going to see someone like Gary or Dre go, and it's just going to be really upsetting.
Yeah, it's those people that have, and Taryn, can you talk to me about this? It's Dre, and people are like, whose names were coming up from the majority, just so we can kind of get a sense of where their heads were at heading into this this whole ordeal.
Basically the people who were campaigning for Cass to stay, people like Dre, people like Gary, William, that kind of crew, and they're really sort of on the outs now. And even Karen has her name was brought up, especially by Kevin. So it's basically those are the people that are in the minority. Then you've got Ika and Dimitris who are trying to play both sides, but still have enough in with the majority that they're probably good for this week.
Okay, so we will keep an eye on that, and we will talk about maybe some developments on that when we get to the live feed portion of things. Johnny, before we take some questions and get into the feeds, you played on season 3, so you know a lot of these people like I know these people. I want to talk to you about how you feel like how some of these players are playing so far. So first, let's talk about our boy Kevin. How do you feel Kevin's doing this go around?
So having played with Kevin before, and I hate for all the Kevin fans to take offense to this, but Kevin didn't have a hot clue what was going on in our season of Big Brother for the first 3 or 4 weeks at all. Like, he really didn't. And I probably think you can attest to that. I knew you were working with him, but he didn't know what was going on. So I think overall, Kevin is playing a much better game this time. He's using and leveraging those existing relationships. The one thing that Kevin is not doing well is his social game. Until you know Kevin, until you spend some time with Kevin, he comes off as sketchy. And that continually is being said, that he's sketchy and he weirds people out. But that is just who Kevin is, right? And until you get to know Kevin a little bit better, his conversations might come off as sort of disingenuous, but they're really not. I think he truly does care about a lot of these people and these bonds he's forming. He's a little socially awkward when it comes to some things. And that might throw people off. But overall, I think he's doing a great job. I think he's positioned himself really well with Bruno. I think he's got this great thing going on with Netta. Game-wise, I think he's doing okay. I just fear for him. He needs to make sure that Bruno is always going to be in front of him so that when it comes time to targeting them, he can somehow squeak by and sort of reevaluate after that.
Agreed. And yeah, the socially awkward thing, people were coming at me last night because I said, yeah, Kevin's awkward. Kevin would admit that himself. He's kind of awkward, but that's not an insult. It's very endearing. Like, yeah, I think that's absolutely why we love him, right?
And I think for people who just watch the TV show, that's hard for them to see.
Yes.
They see the character Kevin. They don't see Kevin.
As a person.
As a person. Human. When you get to know Kevin, the person, he is a little awkward and he is a little weird. And he will admit that himself. And that plays against him. And certainly the others are seeing that.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with you. Kevin's playing a much better game this go around. He's quiet. This is good. Nobody, and especially this twist. This twist is great for Kevin's game because he can just sit back for a week and be like, all right, I'm good. Nobody's coming after me.
Exactly.
Let's talk about Cindy. I've been very high on Cindy's game so far. I imagine you're feeling the same way because did you think she had this in her?
No, this is blowing me away. Cindy with an S is playing an amazing game. Of all the returning vets, I feel like Cindy is doing the best job thus far.
Yeah.
And it's that shock. I can't even believe those words are coming out of my mouth of all things from Cindy with her being on our season. And she was just terrible. I love you, Cindy, so much. If ever she goes back and listens to this, I love you. However, she was terrible. And this season, she has done a lot better. She's keeping her mouth shut when she needs to. Perfect example from one of the episodes this week, when Ika was going at it with Netta about the nominations. And Cindy literally sat there and kept her mouth shut. And that is not the Cindy we know. Cindy does not know how to keep her mouth shut. So she is doing a really good job of that. And she has been that person that sort of is kind of teetering in the middle, right? She's diffusing the situation between Netta and Ika. She is building relationships with some of the newbies. And she's laying low. And for someone like Cindy, that's hard to do. So for her to have rebooted herself the way she has and really had learned from, I think, playing the first time, she's doing a phenomenal job. And Cindy's going to go far. I can't even believe we're saying that, but Cindy is going to go far in this game.
No, she's playing great. Cindy's doing a great job. Godfrey Manguiza, he was harsh on her preseason, but Godfrey's even been tweeting, being like, hey, man, Cindy's playing a great game. So, no, hats off to Cindy. She's doing very well. And Bruno, talk to me about Bruno. I know we talked in the preseason, and we were like, hey, Bruno's going to pick up all the meatheads, and he's going to work with them, and that's going to be his game plan. Hasn't quite been that yet, but he has roped in Dylan at this point. So where do you think Bruno's game is going to go from here, Johnny?
It'll be really interesting where Bruno's game goes. I know that Bruno knows that Netta is an amazing player.
Yes.
And the minute he can take a shot at her, he will. He will have to draw the line at some point, and he needs to take Netta out before she takes him out. And they're both big players, and they're both ready to make those moves. So it's whoever is going to do it first. Bruno's positioned himself really well. He's that person with Kevin. He's got his thing going on with Cindy in the season 3 sort of alliance. He's got a really great relationship, like I said, with Dylan and Netta. It'll be interesting to see who really takes the first shot. I would have loved to see Bruno do it earlier in our season to really take a shot against Zach, unfortunately, and you earlier, but he didn't, right? So
no, he really should have. That would have been great TV. I think the fans would have loved that, but
absolutely they would have. I think that this season, if he is going to improve and learn from season 3, he needs to really find the perfect time to take a stance against Netta and take her out, because he can't win the game as long as Netta's in there.
I mentioned the twist earlier, Johnny. I've been thinking about this, and I hope it doesn't happen, because I think he might die. What's going to happen if Bruno gets screwed by another twist? Because honestly, it could come. If these six keep doing as well as they do, it's only a matter of time before that pin's going to drop and one of their games is going to get blown up.
Absolutely. I think it'd devastate Bruno. It'd kill him. I hope it doesn't happen.
He hasn't been
able to live down the first time.
Nope.
And yeah, was it a rough twist? Absolutely. Is it a terrible way to go? Absolutely. However, this is Big Brother Canada. And until you can adapt and play into that, and I know it's hard to do, but you are not a great player until you can adapt to those kinds of twists. And you have to be positioned perfectly amongst the other house guests to sort of survive something like that. And can Bruno do it? I don't know. I don't think so. And I think, like you said, if things continue the way they are and something like that drops, that is the perfect and most opportune moment to take him out. So he needs to be careful of that.
And Taryn, how do you feel about that? Do you think Bruno prepared right now to handle a twist like that?
Well, I mean, I've obviously been on record with this, but I disagree with Johnny. I feel like with most of these twists, I think they're almost entirely random, right? Like, it's almost impossible to be fully prepared for a twist. There's basically nobody in the history of Big Brother Canada that has been 100% invulnerable to any given twist, because it's not only could they happen at any point in the game, but they could be literally any new, mechanic to the game.
Yeah, bump vetoes, right, Canada's new age, whatever.
Bump vetoes, have not powers, backwards weeks, or is somebody getting safety? It could be anything at any time,
yeah,
and it could affect anyone. Like, who would have thought that a twist would come right as Cass gets evicted, and Cass would stay evicted, and Gary and like the underdogs would be screwed, right? Like, who would have thought that's the kind of twist that would happen? Normally you'd think, oh, the fan favorites are going to get benefited from this twist. But that's not what happened. Look at Kevin from the triple eviction. He was probably the fan favorite at that time, given how popular he is now. And he went out during one of the biggest twists of Big Brother Canada 3. It's just so difficult to prevent yourself from being hit by those things. That said, I think Bruno is in probably a pretty good place right now. Basically, he's insulated by a lot of people. He's certainly next to Kevin, who's probably a bigger target than him at the moment. I don't think Bruno is the first person people are going to go after. If it's like, oh, we hate somebody, we want to target Bruno, probably not. In fact, honestly, could be Netta at this point. And is he going to be struck by like some, like, who knows, basically? It could be anybody. And I think he has a lot of people this time. Basically, what happened last time was that it was him and it was Godfrey, or it was him and Zach. Like, there were so few people left that it was one of two people. He's one of many people right now. And so I'm on a limb and say he's probably not going to get screwed by a twist.
Wow. Okay. There
we go.
That's a
big statement to
make. Big statement. I hope for Bruno's sake that's not true, that you're right, because I don't think Bruno, like, I don't think my heart could handle that, to be honest, because that would just be so devastating for Bruno. I mean, I know how much this game means to him. So hopefully things keep going well for him. I know not everybody wants things to go well for the six, but just between us, so I can be transparent, I'm rooting for the six. So I hope things go well for them and they don't get screwed. I do think somebody is going to get screwed, though. We will see.
Somebody, certainly.
Somebody will. All right, guys, are we ready to get into the live feeds?
I do want to quickly talk about the Netta thing, right?
Okay, because go ahead. Yep.
Twitter is aflame about Netta right now. Like, lots of people are angry with Netta because,
Cass.
Yes. She interrupted Cass's, or not interrupted, but she had things to say about Cass's speech. And then the goodbye message. People are very unhappy with Netta right now. And that's very surprising because for a long time, she's basically been one of the most popular house guests of all time. What do you think about this turn of events, Jordan?
I mean, that's so hard. I think it's one of those situations. I think first it's like, okay, this is the reaction right now because this has just happened. We've just seen this. We're seeing this back to back. So I think it's definitely going to sour some people, especially because Netta is in a position where she's the queen. She's on top. She's running the show. She's immune. Nobody can touch her. So she is the queen. Nobody can even go after her. I do think people are going to forget about this kind of a little bit over time, but it's definitely not good, I don't think, for Netta's popularity long term, because I think those Cass fans, I don't think they're going to let go of that. Johnny, what do you think?
No, I completely agree. I don't think they are. And we do know Canada will continue to have an impact on this game. And now having sent out one of their favorite players, that won't work well for her. Should there be another vote at Canada's HOH or whatever. I don't know if that's going to work to her advantage anymore. There is a lot of hate for her out there right now.
Hold on, Johnny. I want to ask you this, because this is something that boggles my mind, is why, like, how does this happen? How do we get somebody who is the queen of Big Brother, like the most popular person probably in the history of Big Brother Canada? And then just like that, it's like, okay, oh, we don't like Netta anymore. Oh, because she said two things. It's like, really? That's like, I personally don't get that. And maybe it's because I'm biased.
I think that does play a part in it. You do know Netta a lot better than most people.
Yes.
And I think that we are seeing a very different edit of Netta. And I don't know if that edit puts her, she is very cocky. She is very confident.
Is she cocky? I don't know. I know she's confident. I guess you could say tonight she was a little cocky, maybe.
And if you watch the feeds, she has conversations and you're like, really, really, Netta? Like, you're cocky. You have immunity. So she's saying things that I don't know if they're within her character or not. I mean, I don't know Netta very well in the real world. I've interacted with her a bit. I think she's lovely. But at the same time, to me, she's coming off as really cocky. She's put herself up on this really high pedestal. And you know what? There's a long way to fall when you're up that high.
Yeah, thinking back to Big Brother 14, when Dan was basically, you know, the nail in the coffin for Janelle, that he took a huge blow to his popularity that he never fully recovered from. It basically took an amazing rest of the season for Dan to even come close to getting back like some of those fans that he lost. I could easily see, and that was a case where it wasn't even his fault. It was more Boogie's fault, and he was as nice as he could possibly be about it, where in this case, this was all Netta and she really went full force. And she even really kicked her while she was down in the goodbye message. Like I could see this being really difficult for Netta to come back from. And then when you put this twist on top of it, I think it's bad both for her popularity and for her position in the house, because what I was saying last week was that I thought this was a great HOH for Netta to win because she has at least 2 weeks to, you know, settle back into the weeds. But with this twist, this is essentially a continuation of Netta's HOH week. There's nobody who's coming and taking her place to garner heat for themselves. This is like, oh, this was Netta's agenda, and it continued for yet another week. And I think fans are going to be unhappy about that. And I think people in the house are going to remember that. And they're going to be thinking about, man, Netta is still on top of the house right now. And that's not good for her.
No.
Okay, guys, live feed time. Taryn, we ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's do live feed. So if you do not want to know what is going to happen in terms of the nominations on a Monday night, we will bid you farewell. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to check out Rob Cesternino's exit interview with Cassandra. That will be tomorrow. If you want to get that in your podcast feed, you can go to robhaswebsite.com/rehapups or robhaswebsite.com/BB podcast. If you subscribe through either of those channels, you'll get this show as well and all of the rest of the Happy Hour episodes throughout the rest of BB Can 5. So go ahead and do that if you haven't already. All right, before we move forward, we're just going to take a quick break and we'll be back right after this.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay, Taryn, let us know who is on the block, who has been nominated by the House. I wanted to say like BB Can 3 week 1 style, but Johnny, I feel like we should call this Risha style nominations. Does that work for you?
Works for me.
Okay, so who has been nominated Risha style, Taryn?
It's Gary and Dre.
Okay, so there we go. So Gary and Dre have been nominated. How, based on the feeds haven't been back for too long, how have they been reacting based on what you've seen?
I mean, I haven't seen much of it because we've been podcasting right since the feeds came back on. But I assume they're not very happy.
No, I imagine Gary is not thrilled because did Gary know that he was this much on the outs? Because I feel like it was, again, I talked about this last night. I felt like it was just a few days ago that Gary was like in a great spot and nobody was even thinking about him.
You know, it really comes down to how he, I think we talked about this in New York, actually, when we found out that Cass was going to go up on the block because Netta was
pizza. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
We were like, does she have Gary's vote? We were like, she probably does. But how far is he willing to stick his neck out for her? And I think you said he was more willing to, and I said, I don't think he will. And I think you were right in this instance. I think he stuck his neck out far too much and really put a target on his back, and he could be going home this week because of it.
Oh, man. Johnny, what are we going to do if we have Dallas, Cass, and Gary going home back to back to back? I mean, the vets are just keep eating themselves. Like this has got to end at some point.
It does got to end at some point. And if these newbies were really smart, they'd say to ourselves, hey, let's stop for a second here. Let's put our differences aside and let's regain control of this game. I mean, they've knocked out so many vets. The newbies have the numbers. Now use it to your damn advantage and play the damn game. Let's make a name for ourselves and let's win Big Brother Canada 5 instead of giving it to a vet like Netta or Bruno or Kevin. Like, come on.
Yeah, because they've got to at some point, especially if Gary goes out this week, they have to be looking around and saying, hey, there are what, like, okay, if Gary goes out, there's going to be what, five vets left? It's going to be Bruno or no, is it? Yeah, it would be five vets left. And then it's all these newbies. They have to. I think it just makes too much sense. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like it sucks for if Gary's going to go home this week. But I do think in terms of the overall entertainment of the show, Taryn, this might be for the greater good. Or maybe I'm wrong. Do you think the newbies will wake up? Will they be smart enough to realize, hey, guys, let's team up and get rid of these vets? Or am I crazy?
It's definitely tough because, you know, I think both Gary and Dre, you know, are people that could lead a revolution, right? I think Gary could lead a revolution against the vets. I think Dre easily could. The problem is they can't get the people like Dimitri's. They'd really need to be able to win him over. They really need to be able to win Emily and Dylan over, but they've been so entrenched in this whole Kevin and Bruno thing now that it's really hard to see them leaving that. There basically needs to be some sort of blow up, some sort of expose on this six-person alliance. I could see Ika and Dimitri's being the catalyst for some sort of split. Does it happen this week? Almost certainly not. But I think regardless of who goes home this week, the other person left could be somebody that joins up with people like Ika and Dimitris and then finally, you know, hopes to strike at the majority if they win in HOH.
Yeah, I think that what you said there about the Dylan and Emily stuff, I think that makes a lot of sense. And Johnny, tell me if you disagree, but I feel like if I was in there for my first time in playing with, you know, Bruno and Kevin or whatever, I feel like I would never go. I mean, even though in my head before the game, I would know, okay, I got to get rid of these vets for quite a while. I think I would just be like, oh, this is great. I love them so much. I can't flip. Like, I think that was an issue with myself. I think it was an issue with you too. The first time was we weren't willing to, we were too loyal to our crew because we just genuinely liked them. We didn't want to do that. I think that's something that the idea of flipping it back and forth, I think, do you think that's something that's more acquired on the second go round?
Absolutely. I think someone going in there, never having played the game before, never having experienced it, would have a very hard time doing that. However, if you are going to be the next best player of the game, that is what you need to do to adapt. Is there one of those people in there? I don't know. I do agree with Taryn. The person who remains this week might be that catalyst that sort of brings about change with the proper competition, HOH, maybe a twist, something. And maybe that will help flip things around, but who knows?
All right. Taryn, what about anything else you can take from the feeds before we get into the questions? I saw Alex Kidwell said in the chat that Netta was crying. So I don't know what that's all about. I don't know if you probably
did he say that or did he say that she was eating everyone's tears?
I think. No, there was, I didn't, it just said Netta, I don't know, Alex Kidwell, if you're still here, let us know. But I do believe it just said Netta is crying on feeds. That was what, that is what was said. Alex is here. He says, OMG in the chat.
So, very informative.
Alex. Another lie. That's what he
We're
says.
Bullying Alex and he's not even here.
Not even here, Johnny. That's the joke in this podcast. We bully Alex Kidwell.
Yeah. What I think is interesting is between this whole Gary and Dre situation, I think people like Kevin, Kevin thinks that he has Gary, right? So I think he's going to be working to try and keep Gary. The problem is for somebody like Kevin, he doesn't know that the winner of the HOH decides who goes home. So he's not going to be looking at individually, how do I convince this person to keep Gary? He's going to be looking at how do I get my majority to want to keep Gary over Dre? And I think that's probably what the majority is going to want to do anyway. They probably want Dre out over Gary just because of that vet thing. But we'll see, you know, who knows how Gary reacts this week.
Yeah, I think Gary's he's not going to take it well. And just for the record, Alex says, he says, I said, quote, Netta feeds on the Twitter stands tears. Ha 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 ha. That's what he said. So, and then he said, reading comprehension for the win. So clearly I don't know how to read. So there you go. I guess my brain, like I'm not even, Alex, I'm not even trying to bully you or make fun of you or twist your words. My brain just naturally does it, so I'm sorry. Johnny, what do you think about how Gary's gonna handle this? Because we see it on the episodes, we see it on the feeds when Gary does Bruno's makeup and Bruno washes it off and Gary's mad for like 12 hours over it. I really don't think Gary is gonna handle this well. And as Taryn was saying earlier, I think Gary's going to try to be this leader of the newbie revolution, if you will. And I think he's got a good chance of winning this veto. I do. Gary's a competition beast.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. He's not going to handle this well, and it's going to make great feeds and great TV for us. Yeah. Gary, like you said, the littlest thing will throw Gary off and he goes into a tizzy. And yeah, that makes great TV. Is it going to annoy some people? Probably. But can Gary come out at the end of this week and still survive? Absolutely he can. I think, yeah, there is a good possibility he could win the veto and save himself. And if he does, there's a very good possibility he could win that HOH and be the sole vote. So it'll be very interesting to see how the remainder of this week plays out. He has it in him. He is a good game player. He is strategic when he needs to be. Is he a little dramatic and a little over the top? Absolutely. But that's Gary, and that's why we love him.
Go ahead, Taryn.
Let me say this. I think this is the end of the Gary we've been seeing so far. I think this is the return of the Gary that we knew from season one. I think the fact that the majority of the house decided to put him up, that's going to set him off. It's going to get him all in defense mode, and he's going to be full force for the rest of the season.
Oh, boy. Buckle up. Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. Gary Glitter is back. This is why, Johnny, we're talking about this competition, him winning it and, you know, maybe, you know, getting HOH. This is why I think it would have been so much better. If you're going to go Risha style nominations, you should use the veto the same way it was used on our season that first week and let that be a diamond power veto, because then at least it gives that minority a chance at doing something. Because if Gary, could you imagine if Gary is on the block and he throws a fit, and then he somehow wins the veto, and then he names the replacement nominee, and then he wins HOH and has the right to evict the person he puts up. I mean, that would just be gold, golden television. I really think it would be great.
And I feel like that really balances out this twist, right?
Yes.
Like we said, this twist is in the advantage of that core six, and that would really balance things out. It's unfortunate that that's not the case, because I think that would make great TV, and it would really set the remaining half of this game or this next few weeks up. Should something like that happen, but yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah, I feel like it would really it could reset the board a little bit, I think.
Absolutely.
In terms of the game board and what we have going on, all these chess pieces. I think it's gonna be really more of the same here this upcoming week here. Let's take some questions. This one is from friend of the show, Edward Morris. Edmo asks, Johnny, if you were on this season, who would you work with?
Who would I have been working with? So of the returning vets, I'd like to think I have pretty decent relationships with most of them. So I would have been all about the vet alliance as well. I would have gravitated towards Aika. I would have gravitated towards Netta, most likely, because I knew she was a good game player. I would have worked my season three alliances. I would have tried to position myself kind of like Cindy, I guess. Yeah. You would say, because I think that that would be the role that I would be able to take, just having those existing relationships and knowing what I know about these people. You know, even some of the newbies, there are some of them in there that I would have got along with very well. Dre and I absolutely would have loved her to pieces. And so I could definitely see that working. So yeah, that's sort of where I would try to situate myself in the middle and really try to work it as far as I could and hopefully ride it towards the end. Like I think Cindy's going to attempt to.
Yeah, I think it's going to work for Cindy. She's really in a good spot. Let's take this next one here. This one is from Matt on Long Island. Matt on Long Island wants to know, hey, Johnny, are you single and ready to mingle?
Absolutely, I am single and ready to mingle. I have not had a relationship in 5 years.
What has it been? Oh, 5 years now, Johnny?
I have not been with anyone really since Big Brother and prior to that, to be honest with you.
Oh, wow.
So I am you know what? I've put my career ahead of everything, and I've really spent a lot of time focusing on that, which is fine. But I am definitely single. I'm definitely ready to mingle. Winnipeg is so damn small, and there is just a terrible selection of guys here in Winnipeg. I hate to say it, they just suck. The gays suck here in Winnipeg.
Well, maybe you need to go to Long Island, Johnny. I think maybe we can make that happen. I had a question here and I lost it, but it was from, I can't remember this. I'm so sorry, but I had somebody ask, what do you think is going to happen once Netta is no longer immune? Are the six going to stick together, or are they going to start to target her? Taryn, how do you feel about that? Once Netta is no longer immune, which I imagine is coming up pretty quick. It's got to be right around like week five-ish, right? We're in week four now.
Yeah. You have to imagine she has at least one more week of safety. And then jury would probably start at 11. You know, it could be in the next coming weeks. Maybe jury starts a little later. Probably not, though, because that would make it even more overpowered to have this twist. I don't see Kevin and Bruno turning on Netta very soon. I think that they certainly will down the line. But it kind of depends on how successful they are in the coming week. Like if they win HOH, or if one of their allies, like say Dylan wins HOH next week and he takes out the remaining person from Gary and Dre or William or whoever, then I could see them starting to think, okay, we've basically decimated the other side. Now's the time to take Dylan and Emily and use them to maybe strike a blow at the vets. But honestly, I think they strike a blow at Ika and Dimitri's first. I think that they feel like they have, and I think they do at the moment, they have more control over Jackie, Emily, and Dylan than Netta does. Netta is kind of all alone at this point. They even have Cindy to a good extent. Netta basically has Ika, and that's very flimsy at best. They are basically the best that Netta has, and they have a lot of other options. So I don't think they're particularly worried about Netta right now.
Okay, so that's interesting to note. I wonder, I'm just so excited to see how this plays out. I just want to fast forward like 2 weeks to see what's going to happen once this immunity expires, because I'm just so curious to see what's really going to go down there. Let's take this question here. This one's from Nicholas Booher. Nicholas says, I'm confused as to why an alliance was named after Netta's clothing brand. Could you explain that? And who do we think of the newbies is set up the best? So I'll throw that first part to you, Taryn. So could you explain, we talked about this a little bit last night, but could you talk to us a little bit about the Blackened Saints?
Yes. So basically this is the alliance that Netta, Bruno, Kevin, and Kevin have made with Dylan and Emily. It is, Netta obviously named it the Blackened Saints. You know, she wanted to name an alliance the Nettas. At one point, I guess this is the closest she can come. Johnny's shaking his head.
What, Johnny, you don't like it? That's better than the diaper alliance, surely, no?
Absolutely, it's better. But here's the thing. This just plays into what I was saying earlier about Netta being really up on that pedestal. Get over an alliance about yourself. Like, it's not all about you, Netta. And that is only going to make the target bigger on her.
I personally think it's hilarious.
I think it's silly. I think it's really silly on her part. I think it's a lapse of judgment. Make that target bigger on yourself, Netta. That is not a good idea at this point. She's already a big target. Don't make it any bigger than it is.
I think we need to have Rob weigh in on, like, is naming your alliance after your clothing brand a good idea or not? Especially if it's like a kind of a fake alliance. Like,
yeah, that's the thing, is I think the reason why it's named after her is that to her, it's just like, well, I don't care about this alliance, but just screw it. We need a name, so we'll give it this name. But I don't know. I have to ask that.
I just feel like it permeates the cockiness that she has right now with the immunity and the pedestal she's put herself on. And I think she has to be very careful of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's something to keep in mind, I guess. I think it's honestly, it's a joke. That's really what I think. She doesn't take it seriously. I think that's why she's naming it. But I get why people are perceiving it that way. And I will understand if somebody in the house is like, hey, why, you know, Netta just named this alliance after her. Like, we get, this is another reason why she's running the show here.
And not only in the house, you have to think about her popularity on the outside. I don't think that that's going to bode well to her popularity.
Taryn, do you know the latest on Jokers? I saw that Netta was lower than normal last I saw, because Netta was at like one at the start of the season, I thought. Or maybe, I don't know, Cindy's at one now. That's all I know.
Cindy's at one?
Yeah. Last I saw, she was at one as well. Yeah, Johnny, have you seen, like, I think that it was at like seven on Jokers, which I was.
She went way down. I mean, yeah. Of course, because she took a stance against Cass, right?
Yes.
So that really pushed her down. Yeah.
I'm looking now. Cass is number one right now. Followed by Gary and Dre. And Cindy is down at six. She was number one yesterday. I don't know why she's down at six right now.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll make a late push. And Netta, who was at seven yesterday, is now all the way down at 10 today.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
And Netta, yes, Netta was for the first 15 days. Although I can't see past week seven right now, number one in the, since day one, for 15 days, she was number one. And then in the past seven, she's gone down all the way to number 10.
So HOH, that was the comment.
Well, HOH, and she's gotten, I hate to say, she's gotten a really mean girl edit. She really has. And that's just the way it is. And
yeah, I don't think
that is offending people.
Yeah. I don't think the goodbye messages tonight will help either. Yeah, no, I mean, and it sucks because I get where Netta's coming from with that speech, but I don't know if that necessarily, that it doesn't, clearly, based on what we saw from Twitter, it does not translate to everybody. There's a lot of people who were very, very upset about that.
We should add the disclaimer that Jokers, we learned from Big Brother OTT, is not necessarily representative of the audience as a whole. So don't necessarily expect Netta to lose any votes.
That's fair. That is a good point. And I think that the underrated thing with Big Brother Canada as well is the casual vote. I think that the casual vote, I don't know how, it's hard to say what the casual vote is saying. The Joker's polls is what, like 200 or whatever people that are voting on it? I don't know. But the, you know, we didn't expect, like Kevin came in second on the Time Warp twist thing.
Did not see that coming at all. That coming, right? Shocked me.
So that's the power of the casuals, is that, you know, Kevin's got a lot of people online, but he's also got those casual people. I think Netta is always going to have that casual audience as well. I think so many people love Netta and her game. So I think she's always going to have that base. I think it's just going to be the internet, and I don't know what percentage of the internet is being represented. It's hard to tell because we don't know the number of votes. We don't know where all these votes are coming from, but that percentage of the vote, maybe it'll sway, but I think that core should stay the same, at least. Let's take this one from AJ Porter. AJ asks, does this second consecutive twist help Netta or hurt her chances for a win? So yeah, this is kind of like a catch 22 here, because it continues her HOH, as you were saying, Taryn. But on the other hand, Johnny, I feel like another week like this is just going to bring Netta's popularity down even further.
I completely agree. This is absolutely going to hurt her game. And, you know, she really needs to try to lay low for a little bit now. Yeah, she took out Cassandra. It was a big move. Absolutely. Someone else will leave this week. Maybe Gary. Who knows? But she's got to lay low, and she's got to kind of fall below the seams and put some of those other players in front of her. Can she do it? Maybe. I just don't know.
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier, but I really think this was not good for Netta. Even though it helps her alliance, it helps her get another target out. I think she's still seen as the driving force because she was the last person they remember being in power. Basically, the only thing she can do this week is to just do nothing. She has to not be involved in any way because she doesn't need to be, right? It's going to be either Gary, Dre, or like Karen or William, right? If the veto gets used, there's basically zero potential for any other thing to happen. She doesn't have to do anything to make it happen. She needs to sit back and say, I have nothing to do with this. My HOH week is over. Somebody else take charge.
And this is, just a reminder again, this is from Courtney on Twitter. She says, reminder, last time Netta played, she was the underdog. That has a lot to do with this just decrease in popularity. And that's something, Taryn, that you talked about with Rob as well on Monday. So I think that's something to consider as well. It's different when you're starting out at the front rather than coming from behind to get to the end there. All right, guys, I think this is pretty much, okay, fine. We'll take one more. This one's from Mike Brett. He says, what's the story with the Toyota twist? Is it more product placement, or could there be game potential? So yeah, we didn't talk about this, Johnny. So I have a confession. I was late getting home from school, so I missed like a little bit of the episode, like at the very beginning. What exactly were the, like, it's, so there's a car that they can win, and there's some power around A53 or something. Do you know what this whole twist is?
So, I mean, the car is one of the grand prize.
Yes.
Toyota 86 is the grand prize. And so,
but it's going to go in the backyard. Yeah.
So the car went into the backyard, and there was clues, I guess, or facts about the car that were hidden throughout the vehicle. And they were given 5 minutes or an amount of time to sort of review these facts. And they were told, Taryn, correct me if I'm wrong, day 50, I believe, 50.
Yeah, I think so. Day 50 something.
I think
it might 53, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on day 53, there would be a competition that involved this. And
they get to drive away in it?
Well, I mean,
isn't that what they said? Is that what I read that somewhere? I was like,
I feel like preseason, it was announced that there would be a Toyota competition,
86. Yes,
at some sort of base. I don't know what that means, and I don't think I don't necessarily means that they get to drive away and keep it. Who knows? Maybe they're going to race that thing and go out of the house. I have no idea. You don't know. You never know.
This sounds like a bunch of product placement to me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, yeah. This is like when was there a competition or whatever it was when Elias Theodorou or whatever that MMA fighter's name was, he came in last season
and
just like, hey guys, like what's up? And then he just like went home. I was like, why? I don't understand what the correlation is here.
Yeah, you said that you missed this because you came in late to the episode. I missed this because I was watching the episode and I just glazed over. Like I it's like, I don't care at all. Like I felt like I was watching an advertisement.
That kind of, I guess that's what it is, but hey, that's BB Can. No show me this season or Twisto. So, you get Toyota, Taryn. This is to make up for it. A whole competition. Yeah, no OxyClean either, Johnny. All our sponsors are gone. It's all new people.
They got peanut butter. They've got Kraft. That's amazing. I love
the yin yang. It's crazy. Yes. They should have just got rid of slop and just been like, all right, let's just do PB&J again. It would have just been way better.
That would have been too easy.
Dream come true. Well, with the have not room, I think it would have been okay. The have not room is terrible. All right, guys, I think that's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. Johnny, thank you so much for coming on with us. This was so much fun. Great catching up. I'm looking forward to being your roommate at Reality Rally in like a week. Yeah, a week's time we'll be at Reality Rally. So that's going to be really fun. Is there any final thoughts or anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
You know, nothing that I really want to plug. Final thoughts. I think this is going to be a great season of Big Brother. I'm really interested to see how things play out. I can't wait to see where the line divides and when the people like Bruno and Kevin turn on the Netta. I think we're going to have an explosive season, and I think we've had an explosive 3 weeks, and it's just going to continue right through to the end. I hope that at the end of this all of these Big Brother people can put everything aside and say the game is the game and it's done. But Jordan, you and I both know that Big Brother people have a lot of trouble putting the game aside.
Here's the thing, is there's gonna be game stuff and there's gonna be personal stuff. I will tell you, Johnny, they are not gonna put stuff aside. I'll tell you that right now. Maybe some of it, but I don't know. I think Niagara Falls may explode in May at some
Niagara
point.
Niagara Falls is definitely,
yeah, when we go for our after party after the finale, I think it might cease to exist. Keep an eye on that. Somebody tweet me in late May, I'll let you know if Niagara is still standing, but it's gonna be explosive and fiery. I agree with you on that. Taryn, anything you want to add before we get out of here, and any hashtag ideas, chat room, feel free to jump in as well.
Well, I want to remind everyone that the last time I spoke to Brent, he was on the podcast and he was saying that he really, really wanted this twist to happen. And he even tweeted it out. You know, you said something about, can we have no twists? And Brent was like, hard pass.
Yeah, on Twitter. Yeah. And then Arissa liked it.
And I was like, Brent, what have you done? and now look where we are. Brent, what have you done? This is all your fault, Brent. All Brent's fault. He asked for this. He wanted it. And I told him no. And he did it anyway. And now look where we are.
Wow. There we go. Brent. And Stephanie in the chat says Brent is doing a Periscope tonight. So maybe Brent will respond to your comments there. But there we go. And someone says, yeah, Brent isn't happy. Yeah. So stay tuned. You follow Brent on Twitter at One Lucky Gay if you want to check that out. Who knows what Brent's got in store for the Periscopers out there. So I guess hashtag then. Somebody said hashtag blame Brent. Someone said hashtag Brent's fault. There's also, I saw hashtag the Nettas. I kind of like hashtag the Nettas. I think that sums everything up. What else we have? Hashtag reading comprehension.
Blame Brent is an alliteration, and I do like alliteration.
Okay, well, you know what? Taryn, I'm going to blame you for this hashtag when Brent gets mad at me later. So let's do it. Hashtag blame Brent. That is going to be the hashtag. Don't forget, guys, to subscribe to their happy hour if you haven't already. Go to robinswebsite.com/happy hour. Just to fill you guys in on the coverage again, Rob Cesternino will be back tomorrow interviewing Cass. Maybe have a little bit of a live feed update from Alex Kidwell as well there. And then on Monday, Rob will be back doing some BB Can coverage. I'll be back Wednesday next week talking about the aftermath, I guess, of the HOH competition episode. I'm not sure. It's backwards week, so we'll figure it out. And then Thursday, I will not be here because I'll be at Reality Rally. Johnny will also be at Reality Rally. Alex Kidwell will be at Reality Rally. So I think Taryn, Melissa, and Brent are going to hold down the fort. So that should be a really fun show 1 week from tonight. So don't forget to check that out. Should be great. And I can't wait to listen to you guys fight. Oil and Water, that's your new nickname, right, Taryn?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So anyway, that is going to do it, guys. Thanks again. Shout out to my sister, Emma. I love you. Thank you for your computer. And thank you to Scott St. Pierre for editing and posting this show. We really appreciate it. For Johnny Colatrulio and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag blame Brent. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out.